Imagine, you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP, I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham. Ryan on Twitter is just amazing, our Seinfeld guy. His Seinfeld knowledge is unparalleled, and he's starting to send me tweets. Here are some Seinfeld actors that played multiple roles, and he's already sent me five clips. We'll have to update it throughout the show. I can't get to all of them here, but he said we first met Tracy Colas as Marlene, George's ex-girlfriend, who Jerry falls for in season two's The Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh, she's the one that goes, she's like undermines Jerry's career as a comedian, and he goes, "You're a cashier."
Right. She later returns as a Monk's waitress named Kelly, who lies to George about having a boyfriend when he mentions how much he likes horse manure in the soup. So there you go. There's one.
My boyfriend's really into those.
And then another one. Marty Rackman first played one of the L.A. cops who pick up George and Jerry in season 4's The Trip Part 2. Later, he is known as Jake Jarmel, who dates and dumps Elaine when she stops to get the juji fruits. Mm. So keep him coming, Ryan. We'll update those a little more. But so I guess he could have come back as Jackie Chiles. Doesn't seem like a hard and fast rule there.
No, it doesn't.
Where they don't recast. So thank you, Ryan. Ryan's unbelievable to the Seinfeld stuff. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. I'll give you another Carson Wentz stat here from Rube's article. Wentz has gone 6 straight games without completing more than 60% of his passes. Last Eagles QB with a longer streak, Randall Cunningham, who had 10 game streak of lower than 60% or worse in 1987. It was obviously a different league 33 years ago, but it's interesting how I'm reading these bad Carson Wentz stats and all the other nominations I got a couple weeks ago for best Eagles quarterback of all time are coming up in these stats. Jaws, Randall Cunningham. You know who's not coming up? Donovan McNabb. Because Donovan McNabb is the best quarterback in Eagles history. I think this, if anything, confirms my point, my argument, that Donovan was better than all the rest of these scrubs we've had at quarterback in this city. 215-592-9494. And we'll get to the phones in just one second here. But, you know, we talk about long-term, and that's the main thing tonight, is Doug Peterson or Carson Wentz, which one should be back? Because that's where this thing's headed. I guarantee there's no scenario I see in which both Doug and Carson are back next year. The offense has looked too bad for too long. This is a 3-year problem that is not getting any better. And if anything, it is getting worse. It's getting way worse. So it's either going to be Carson with a new coach or Doug with a new quarterback, be that Jalen Hurts or somebody from the outside. And that's the long-term answer. But the short-term answer, and what needs to happen in the short term, is Carson Wentz needs to be benched. And Jalen Hurts needs to play on Monday night against Seattle. Now, according to Doug, as of now, that is not going to happen. There's still a week between now and this game. So I wouldn't say that that's definitely the case. I would say I'd lean toward Carson probably will start, but we'll see. But, you know, when you look at this situation and benching Carson Wentz, a lot of people see it as like a turning point where you can never go back. And I don't see it that way. I don't. And for all the people who defend Carson, you know, I have a different opinion where I think Carson is primarily responsible for his issues and therefore a lot of issues on the offense because your quarterback's not playing well. Your offense is not going to play well. But the Carson Wentz defenders, I actually think, should support this decision to bench him for a game. Because what do the people who defend Carson and apologize for Carson say all the time? The only thing that they can say, and the only thing that they do say, is it's everything else. It's the offensive line. It's the receivers. It's the coaches. They can't point to one thing that Carson Wentz actually does well. I actually did this exercise on Twitter. I said, just give me one thing he does well. And I get none of that. I get, well, what about Doug? What about everything else? Without anybody giving me one thing that he does well, the only thing I got was he throws better from outside the pocket, and the numbers actually indicate that's not even true. So we talk about that. That's not supported by any kind of statistical information. So, you know, there's not really anything you can point to that he does well. But the people who support Carson and like Carson blame everything else. So what I would say to them is if you really feel that way, if you truly believe that it's on the offensive line, it's on Doug, receivers, everything else on this roster is making Carson Wentz fail, then why wouldn't you support him being benched for a game? Because if that's really the case, okay, let's see it. Let's see it with Jalen Hurts. Because all I see is Jalen Hurts wouldn't make this team any better. No quarterback could succeed with this team. I actually got a tweet. Patrick Mahomes couldn't succeed with this team. I have a feeling Patrick Mahomes would be doing pretty well with this team. I just do. I think there are some quarterbacks who could succeed with what's around them on this offense. But let's see. If it really is everyone else, if it really is the offensive line and Doug, let's see Jalen Hurts just for the hell of it. Because what damage can be done? How much worse can it really get? Why not just see what happens? For all the people who think Carson should be absolved, that's the quickest way to absolve him. That's the quickest way to determine who is at fault here. Because if Jalen Hurts comes out and he's no better and he stinks it up, fine. You go back to Carson. You can go back to Carson at halftime. Play Jalen Hurts for a half. See what happens. It's worth the shot. Because the offense over the last 3 weeks going back to that Dallas game, it can't get any worse. So if it really isn't Carson's fault and it's really on everybody else, then even the people who support Carson should support him getting benched for a game, because if that's really the truth, let's prove it. It's why I don't really believe the Carson Wentz people believe what they're saying. You know, they say it's everybody else. I don't think they truly believe that. Because if they did, what's the harm in sitting him down for a game? 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Mike in South Philly. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
What's up, man?
Yeah, actually, I think it's kind of like, I mean, look, I hate to pile on with the cynicism here, but if you look at the landscape of this organization and where it's headed, we're not in a good spot. Like, we're actually in a pretty bad spot. If you look at the fact that we might not have a franchise quarterback, we might not have a head coach, the GM has been a disaster the last couple of years, and credit to Jeff McClain, he put out an article somewhere this past evening that just eviscerated Howie. And it was fair. Everything was warranted that he criticized it. If you haven't read it, go read it, because he just called him out on the carpet. And then where the cap situation's messed up, we don't have a lot of young elite talent. Like, I don't see a promising rebirth on the horizon within the next couple of years for this franchise. I think this might be a low point, but it's not like, we'll be back and we'll win 10, 11 games next year and everything will be good. Like, this could extend for a couple of years, Tom. Like, this could be bad for a little while here.
It could be, but what I will say, Mike, is it is easier to turn around a football team than any other sport.
Right,
I agree
with that totally.
Like,
yeah.
In basketball, baseball, you know, you're in trouble. Obviously, like, baseball, if you have a bad farm system, you're going to be in trouble for a long time unless you just spend a ton of money. In basketball, if you're in the middle, you either got to bottom out, do what the Sixers did, and you know, and that's going to take obviously a while to do. In football, I do think if you get the head coach and you get the quarterback right, you can at least build off that and turn it around quicker than those other sports.
No, I agree with that totally. I do. It's just like, man,
it's crazy how bad it's gotten so quickly.
Yeah, and it's like the 180 a month between the Sixers and the Eagles. It's like they swap positions with the outlook in this city.
Oh, absolutely.
I guess a month ago, maybe a little bit further back, you know, it would look like the Sixers were 3 out of 4 in the city in terms of, you know, the outlook. And now the Sixers have moved up to probably 1 or 2, and the Eagles have dropped down to number 3. And if the Phillies hire Theo Epstein and John Middleton gets his act together, then the Eagles might drop down to number 4.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly true, and it's bad right now. And I really do think this is heading for a point where it's going to be between Doug and Carson, and who do you choose? Between those two, Mike, which one would you feel more comfortable in moving forward with long-term if you're choosing between the two?
Well, I think Carson is more to blame this season, but I would rather stick with Carson simply because I would just like to see, just for curiosity's sake, what another coach could get out of Carson.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I think if you don't have a franchise quarterback, you're screwed anyway. So, like, but I think if you get a franchise quarterback, you could kind of win. You don't need, like, a Bill Belichick to win if you have a franchise quarterback. So if Carson's not the guy, they're going to need one to win anyway. But I would like a fresh start. But it's definitely a close call. Like, I don't think we're going to win anything with either of those two going forward anyway.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely fair. I still have a level of confidence in Doug. I do. I'm not ready to go that far yet, where if Doug had a quarterback who was playing at a decent level, I feel like Doug could win with that guy. I'm much less confident that Carson will ever get back to that kind of level because, you know, as we talked about, if you don't have a top 10 guy, you're really not going anywhere. So, and I don't think Carson's going to get back to that level.
Did your Doug say we need to give Alshon more snaps going forward?
I mean, I'll get to the Doug comments in a little bit.
His
press conference today was a joke, Mike. It really was.
He's losing, man. He's losing it.
He is.
And it's, But I want to touch back on the Ben Simmons thing I said last night.
You had to address Gus.
Because one of the things I actually agree with Gus, and actually I've said this before on the air, that that when people go, oh, Ben Simmons should shoot three-pointers, and I'm like, well, no, he shouldn't because he can't shoot. And Gus said that the other night. Well, like he said, you know, if he's a bad shooter, then he shouldn't be shooting. And I actually agree with that. But to me, that's the point. Now, here's where I have an issue. And actually, I could tie this in. It kind of – I think there's similarities between the Wentz apologist and the Simmons apologist. While Ben Simmons does a lot of things well, I think he's an excellent rebounder. He's an excellent defender. He's excellent in transition. He's a good passer. But I hear people call this station, and not just, I hear this from analysts too, that say, Ben Simmons can be a top 5 player even if he never shoots the basketball. No, he can't. Okay? No, he can't. It's the most fundamental skill in the game of basketball. Okay? And if people have that take, they're not being objective. They're just not being objective. They're being homers. Okay? And I'm not even talking about from three-point land. The guy can't hit a wide-open 15-foot jump shot. He's legitimately, you can make a case, he's the worst shooter in the entire NBA. And he's not Shaquille O'Neal. He's not a center. He's a point guard. And he can't shoot.
Well, Mike, I'll ask you one question. If he just figured it out from the free throw line, even
he has to hit a
you
jump
don't
shot.
Even think it from the free throw line.
Not a top 5 player. No, I have him. I did rankings the other day just out of my own curiosity. I had him ranked 23rd in the NBA, and I think you can win with a player like that. If you put Ben Simmons on the Los Angeles Clippers, I think you could win a championship. But when he's your second best player and you need him to carry you to a title, you need top 5 players in the NBA to win championships. It's always top 5, top 10 at the absolute worst. Okay. Ben Simmons will never become a top five, the top 10 player unless he can hit jump shots. It would be like me calling up if Aaron Nola had a nasty curveball and a nasty slider, but he threw a 60 mile per hour fastball. And I said, oh, Aaron Nola could be a top five pitcher in baseball. He doesn't need a fastball. Yes, he does. Like, you have to be able to at least hit a 15 foot jump shot. He can't shoot at all. And when I hear people call in and say he doesn't even need to shoot, period, like, it's absurd. It's, you're just being a homer. And that's where my point of contention is. I don't think Ben Simmons sucks. I think every team in the NBA would love to have him because he does a lot of things well. But if we're talking top five player that could lead you to championships, he has to learn how to shoot.
I got you, Mike, and I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. I do disagree. I disagree with that. I think the free throw shooting is the issue. Because honestly, I don't really see the value in Ben Simmons taking a 15-foot jumper regularly. It's the most inefficient shot in basketball. You know, they don't want you taking that shot anyway. It's not a useful shot to take many times. The highest percentage shots are either around the rim, from the free throw line, or you shoot threes because they're worth 50% more. So I disagree with Mike on that. I do think Ben Simmons can get to that level just by improving the free throw shooting. If Ben Simmons plays the game the way he plays the game now, but shoots 80 to 85% from the line, I don't know how you stop him. I don't. I think a lot of the reason why he, you know, doesn't go to the line as much is because he's not a great free throw shooter. He has improved marginally. He needs to improve a lot more, and I'd agree with that. I think if he doesn't significantly improve from the line, then I don't think he'll get to that level. But I think it's much more about that and free throw shooting than it is taking jump shots in the flow of the game. Because if you surround him with the right guys, he can either get to the rim, get fouled, or score, or kick it out to players for wide open three. So I do think if you he's a very unique player. He's a more unique player than anybody we've ever seen, one of the most unique. But I think if he improves the free throw shooting, he can get to that level. I do believe that. 215-592-9494. Let's go to John in Allentown. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, brother?
What's going on, man?
Hey, I disagree with that view of yours on Ben Simmons, by the way. If he developed a 15-footer, at least they would have to come out a little bit so he could drive the lane better. But, hey, that's just me.
Yeah, but I'm looking at it as, you know, even if they don't do that, if he drives and they foul him and he gets to the line, like, there's no way to not foul him when he's going hard to the basket.
Yeah, but the only thing that, you know, if they have to respect the 15-footer, it brings them a little bit away from the basket. It gives them a better lane, and it puts them out of position a little bit where he will get hand fouled a lot. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah, I hear
you.
Yeah, okay. No, I get it. Yeah.
So, listen, I agree with you. McNabb is the best quarterback who's ever played in the city, including Nick, who won us the Super Bowl, and I love him for that. But if McNabb had a season like this, there would be a lynch mob down the link trying to drag him out of this city.
John, if McNabb had a couple games the way Carson Wentz has played this whole season, people would want him out of town.
Absolutely. They were all, I mean, listen, Wentz, in my opinion, the people that need to go are Wentz, Howie, and the defensive coordinator needs to go. As far as I'm concerned, Peterson is the only decent coach on the staff. Now, if Peterson wants to save his job, he'll sit Carson Wentz. And he'll play the backup just to show them, listen, it's not the plays I'm calling. It's the way they're being run. Because I don't know if there was one pass on Sunday that was an accurate pass. Even the ones that were caught were mostly great catches by the receivers. I mean, I don't know how many times he tried to hit Bulgrum, and it's a horrible pass.
Right. Right. No, John, I'm seeing the same thing, and it kind of makes me crazy when I'll argue with people about, you know, the play of Carson, and I feel like I'm watching a completely different game than other people are watching.
I mean, on the pick six, when they drew back, on the view of the field, the primary read, which was his first read, was wide open, and he didn't pull the trigger.
Right.
That's the quarterback. That's in his head. And that's why we would have never won the Super Bowl in 17 if he didn't get hurt. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Nick Foles pulled the trigger in the Super Bowl. He pulled the trigger on some passes that should have never been thrown.
Right.
And Carson would have never thrown those passes.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah, John, I hear you, and I have to let you go. A little background noise there. But I don't know if that's true. I mean, Carson was a different player in 2017, honestly. Like, that's the thing. He's just not the same guy anymore as he used to be. And I don't know if that's the injuries. I don't know what it is. I don't know if, you know, mentally he can't recover, but he's not the same guy. He might have won the Super Bowl that year because he was a different quarterback. But he's not the same quarterback anymore. And, you know, the more we just wait for that player to come back, I think it's just time to realize that's not going to happen. And it's certainly not going to happen with Doug. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen with new coach. And, you know, I get a tweet from a guy, Ryan, here, different Ryan than our Seinfeld guy. But this is exactly what I mean in regards to the Carson Wentz, you know, supporters and apologists, and why I don't understand what they're so afraid of if he were to sit down for a game. He says, benching Wentz won't solve anything. You know, okay, well, if that's the case, let's see. Like, well, what's the harm in sitting him in the Seattle game and just seeing what can happen? Because I'll tell you what, the offense can't look any worse than it's looked the last three games. The Dallas game, Giants game, Browns game. It cannot look any worse. It cannot be any more stagnant. So why not just see? If you're so confident that, you know, he needs a different coach, because he says that as well, a different coach with Wentz would fix everything. Okay. If that's the way you feel, and everything around Carson is sabotaging him, which is what the Carson people truly, I don't know if they truly believe it, it's what they say, then let's prove it. And the way to prove it is to put Jalen Hurts on the field and see. Because if you're right, you'll be proven right, and Carson will go back in at halftime. It's pretty simple. But there's no harm in trying. And I don't understand why, you know, that move wouldn't be made, and why even people who support Carson Wentz wouldn't embrace that just to see what would happen. 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494. All you guys on hold, stay there. We'll get back to the phones when we return. I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP, I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham. And just I'm just using as an example here how some people with Carson Wentz, you just can't reason with. Like, this guy on Twitter, Ryan, is saying, if you put Hurts in for Wentz, well, will Doug change the style, or will he be doing the same thing all year? It's like, you'll probably change a little bit because different player. You know, he's suggesting is he suggesting that Doug is, like, intentionally calling bad plays for Carson Wentz to fail? Like, because I guarantee you that's not happening. You know, I guarantee you he's not, you know, setting this offense up for Carson to fail.
No, but I think he's cutting his playbook in, I don't know, in half, a third, or whatever. He's cutting his playbook down considerably because of all the plays he feels Wentz is unable to make at this time.
Right.
Too many risks.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's trying to do the best with what he's got, which you know, there's not much he can do right now. And then, I don't know if this other guy, Michael, is trolling me. He said, just thinking outside the box. What if they kept Doug and Carson and hired Bill O'Brien as the quarterback's coach? I don't want Bill O'Brien anywhere near this team. You kidding me? I'm worried.
Maybe he's trolling. I shouldn't think. Like, why?
Bill O'Brien is just a...
I just like why Bill O'Brien. It's just like such a weird name to troll about. He's a very like average coach. He's not like...
Yeah, not like, I mean, he completely ruined the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I mean...
Completely ruined them. I guess that he has a track record. He doesn't really have a track
record. Bad GM. I mean, we can agree, bad GM.
Terrible GM.
But seems like a fine coach. Like,
yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, maybe you wouldn't take a quarterback's coach job. I don't know. I don't.
He's probably still getting paid for
just
a while.
The Bill O'Brien stink. It's gonna take a while for him to wear that off. I think Bill O'Brien's gonna end up going back to college. I think he should go back to Penn State.
State's 0-5. Yeah.
James Franklin. Wait, so great.
Did you watch that game Saturday?
I watched some of it.
How about when it's like 2:56 left? They're down 2 touchdowns, and he punted.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
That's great. That is great. James Franklin is just a horrendous football coach. But yeah, I watched some of that game. And the other big game in the Big Ten, we'll get to this later on. We have a whole football guy segment because it was a heck of a weekend for football guys. And one of the things that we have on tap for you, Tom Allen, the head coach of Indiana, made just an epic speech to his team after a loss. Did you listen to it yet, Mike?
No. Oh, save it for live.
Save it for on air at this point, but just tremendous speech. We'll play that for you a little later on. 215-592-9494. Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz. After this season, the Eagles are going to need to choose one of the two. That's what's going to happen. Would you rather have Carson with a different coach or Doug with Jalen Hurts or a different quarterback? I'm taking Doug. I have way more confidence in him. Let's go to John in North Philly. What's up, John?
Hey.
Yo, John, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you
okay,
hear me?
Gotcha.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, I think it's a bad thing. We can't get rid of Carson because the cap hit going to be too big for next year and the following year. It's like, what, $30 million for the next 2 years that we got him under?
It's basically next year. It's next year you have to take a big hit. After next year, you can get out of the contract. And, John, it's too big a decision. Like, I'm not just going to base everything on 1 year. If I have to eat it and sacrifice 1 year, I'm going to do it if I believe in the coach more.
Okay. You know, the question is this. If we take we can't take away the Super Bowl because we won it. I've been an Eagles fan since the 80s when watching Mike Quick on Channel 17 during the blackout games.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the Eagles with all my heart. But I'm if we take away the Super Bowl, would Doug Peterson still be this great coach that everybody say that he is?
Probably not. I mean, we probably view it differently, certainly, but I mean, you win a Super Bowl, it gives you a certain level of acclaim that you know goes with it.
So we call lightning in a bottle. Nick Foles played unbelievable during the playoffs. He got us that ring. I love Nick Foles for that. I love Doug Peterson for that run that he went on at the end of the year. But since then, as we watching the game, these play calls that Carson Wentz is playing trash, so I want to get that out first. So I'm not a Carson Wentz supporter, whereas though I think he's playing great. But these play calls, especially every time we go for 2 points, when it's like, yo, why are we going for 2 points? He started doing stuff during the game as a coach that you're like, yo, what are you doing? And then it's compounded with the play of Carson Wentz that it makes everyone look bad. The play call look bad. The quarterback look bad. You got your offensive line who can't block. Okay, I'm gonna call 41 pass plays to 17 run plays, and for what reason?
But this is the thing, John, and this is where I kind of question that. You know, why does the offense? Why can the offensive line run block and they're running effectively, but they can't pass block? And I know pass blocking is different and it's harder, but at what level does it come down to the quarterbacks just holding the ball too long? Like, that's what I'm seeing a lot of the time.
He's definitely holding the ball too long, and his decision-making is horrible, too. So as a coach, you got to see that and be like, you know what? I can't keep calling these passing plays because my quarterback is not executing plays that I'm calling, so I'm going to have to rely more heavily on my run game. So as a coach, you just have to see that, you have to recognize that. You can't keep calling the pass plays and be like, okay, he's going to snap out of it eventually, when he's not. It's been, what, how many games you've been playing? What, 11 games so far this year?
Right.
And he's still making the same mistakes since the Washington game.
Right.
When he held on to the ball. So as a coach, you got to recognize that he's not going to bench Carson. So he's stuck with Carson, so we're stuck with Carson.
But why? And I appreciate the call, John, but why not bench him? Why not? Like, that shouldn't be on Doug to hide the quarterback. Like, you don't just run the ball more because you don't – if you want to run the ball more because you don't trust the quarterback, then the problem is not the coach. The problem is the quarterback. Like, you don't run the ball just because you're scared of your quarterback. If you're running the ball because you're scared of your quarterback, you have a quarterback problem. And I pulled these numbers from Monday night. And look at what teams with quarterbacks they trust do. Because I get so, nothing annoys me more than people who talk about, you got to have a balanced offense, you got to have a great run-pass ratio. That's not the way you win in the NFL. It's not. It's not. People can say that. Doesn't make it true. Maybe that's the way it was 30 years ago. It's not the way it is now. Look at the run-pass ratios for teams that are good football teams that trust their quarterbacks. On Monday night, the Rams had 51 passes to 20 rushes. The Bucs, 48 passes to 18 rushes. The Cardinals, 49 passes to 26 rushes. The Chargers, 42 passes to 18 rushes. The Eagles had 35 to 25. That's pretty balanced. But teams with good quarterbacks, teams with quarterbacks they trust, throw the football to score points. 35-25 isn't a crazy ratio. So when people tell me, you know, he's just got to run the ball more. He's got to run the ball every play. If that's the case, if you're so afraid of your quarterback that you need to run the ball on every play, then you should change the quarterback. It's pretty simple. Look at the teams I just mentioned. Jared Goff, who people don't think Jared Goff's great. Well, Sean McVay threw the ball with him 48 times against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's got a very good pass defense. And Sean McVay threw the ball with him 48 times. Brady, you know, Mahomes, Rodgers, Packers I left out of there. They threw 38 to 18 past the rush in their game. Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray, teams with good quarterbacks throw the football. So if your only justification for why the Eagles need to run the ball more is because the quarterback's not playing well, then that is a quarterback problem. That is not a coaching problem. It's not Doug's job to babysit the quarterback who can't play. Doug's job is to score points. You score points in the NFL by throwing the football. 35 to 25, as I said, is not a horrible ratio. It's actually a pretty balanced offense in today's NFL, especially when you compare it to some of these other teams. So if the idea of running the ball is just because you're scared of the quarterback, then you should change the quarterback. 215-592-9494. Let's get John in South Philly in. What's up, John? Yo, John.
Hello.
Hey, John. You got you. What's going on?
How you going? I just don't think there's any continuity there between coaches and players as far as the offense goes. When was the last time you seen a stop and go or out and up? One time, when he does have time, Carson Wentz, he holds the ball all day. The next game, you know, people, defenses are breaking through the line in his face. It's nothing he can do. So it's like give and take, push and pull with the quarterback situation. However, when you talk about coaching, I just don't feel like our coaches get it when it comes to the matchup game. Every other team in the world, earlier in the year with the Rams, the tight end, he scores three touchdowns because of mismatches. The Giants go down the field in two to three plays because of mismatches and score. This week here in Cleveland, you flex the tight end out of the backfield, Baker Mayfield rolls out. The RDBs look like little schoolboys trying to cover these big, giant tight ends. Mismatches, but the Eagles, they can't do it. I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, John, I don't know. I mean, I'm seeing there are plays during the game where receivers are open, they're not being found. I think they are trying to exploit mismatches, but it's tough when the quarterback can't get them the ball.
Yeah, you know. I don't know. Maybe he's overcompensating for his injuries. Like he's huge. He doesn't have any mobility, and it's not to me. And this is just a point I really wanted to make. To me, he just hesitates. He doesn't trust his eyes. He doesn't trust what he sees.
Yeah.
He gets this thing where he get a pump fake, and that's the read he should make. But he needs you to come wide open before he'll let that ball go.
No, he's
can't. Other than that, he's taking sacks.
I got you, John. I appreciate it. He's got no confidence. And you know, you got to find a way to rebuild that. And I don't know how it happens. Maybe it does happen with a new coach. The Eagles are going to have to decide. They're going to have to choose between the two. But, you know, We talk a lot about Carson Wentz and his, you know, I don't know if ego is the right word, but you know, his attitude and what benching him would do, because that's been a question recently, obviously, when we're talking about whether you bench him, and what that would do to his confidence. I would personally like to see how he'd respond. I would like to see how Carson Wentz responded, because the way you're handling him now is not working. Like, this coddling act, which Doug did it again on Monday, you know, where he comes out and he talks about everybody else, we all got to do better, and, you know, he tiptoes around the elephant in the room, which is the fact that the quarterback's not playing well. But, you know, I'd like to see, how does he respond to some adversity? How does he respond to getting benched? How does he respond to a wake-up call? Because that's what I think he needs right now. He needs a wake-up call. When you hear Carson asked after the game, you know, with reporters saying, Doug was just asked about you being benched, and he brushes it off like, I'm not getting benched. Like, you can talk about whatever you want. I'm not getting benched. Well, maybe this is what he needs. And that's not an anti-Carson Wentz thing. I'm trying to figure out a way to fix him. Because you watch these games, you watch him play, and you are seeing a broken player. You are seeing a player that is broken mentally, who hesitates constantly, won't throw the ball when a receiver is wide open. And, you know, you got to find a way to fix it. You got to find a way to figure this thing out with him. 215-592-9494. I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. We might get to a little Sixers stuff later. We'll see what's going on with that. But we were talking about Ben Simmons earlier on a little bit. Mike in South Philly. Mike in South Philly and Gus have like a little feud going now where, you know, Mike called up and had said something about Ben Simmons. Then Gus ripped him. Gus does like ripping other callers. I like caller-on-caller feuds. How do you feel about that, Mike? That's always entertaining to get two good callers going back and forth like Mike and Gus.
I do. I like when callers get held accountable.
Yeah. We got to hold people accountable here. The Eagles don't hold anybody accountable. By the way, speaking of being held accountable, we were talking last week about you making a list for me to apologize to people, which we'll do in the coming weeks.
Yeah, we got to add Taysom Hill to that.
Yeah, I might have to issue an apology there.
And Sean Payton to that, you know.
But what I want to know, Mike, are you ready to apologize to me about your, you said I was such an idiot for mocking your boy, the bodyguard.
I don't think I've ever used that.
The
word.
Bodyguard stinks. Are you ready to apologize
yesterday.
To me?
He had a bad game yesterday.
He's had a terrible season.
It's been more bad than good.
So are you ready to apologize to me for your bad Jason Peters take and making fun of my good Jason Peters take? I am demanding an apology.
The argument was who would be a better option at left tackle for the Eagles, Jason Peters or Andre Dillard?
Right.
To date, Jason Peters has been a better option because Andre Dillard isn't even available.
Okay, you want to pick at semantics here. That's ridiculous.
Can he have like three career starts before you start?
I mean, I would put anybody in over Jason Peters at this point. I would. So
now, I think this would be different if during the summer you were saying like, now hold on, Mike. The whole you're overlooking this Jordan Mailata kid, but you didn't say it once.
So you're not going to man up. You're not going to apologize.
No, because my whole platform is I think Dillard stinks.
Okay. All right. Well, that's it. Well, maybe Mike will come to his senses.
If Dillard proves he's good, then yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, whatever. We'll move on from that for now. It's very disappointing to see when people won't hold themselves accountable. And Mike is just one of those people.
It did look like he tapped out of the game again.
He did. He's just embarrassing at this point. But I what I was trying to get to before we got into that aside there, I demanded that apology. But we were talking about Ben Simmons and an interesting tweet from Ben's sister. Now, Ben's sister, you know, I don't know. She tweets a lot of stuff. So, she tweeted this at 4:11 on Monday afternoon. We would have had a real storyline if she had waited 9 minutes. But she tweeted, can't wait for trade news on Tuesday. What does that mean? Does that mean James Harden and Ben Simmons are getting traded for each other on Tuesday? I don't know. But maybe she's just stoking the fire a little bit. It looks like it was deleted because it was screenshotted is what I'm seeing. So
No, I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't deleted. So if it was deleted, there'd probably be more to it. But probably not as the case. But maybe just keep an eye on it. But we'll try to touch on the Sixers news before the end of the show here.
So since you're the big Twitter guy, I didn't know this was a thing till like the other day. Dwight Howard announced he was going back to the Lakers on Twitter.
Yeah, he announced, I can't wait to spend the rest of my career in purple and gold. And then an hour later, he's a Sixer. So that's just classic Dwight. We're going to have to get used to Dwight. He's going to be an interesting character to have in town. It's funny that Embiid was recruiting him. I didn't really see that one coming. But apparently Joel Embiid was part of the recruiting effort for Dwight Howard. So I'm a little worried about the effect Dwight might have on Joel. Dwight, not really known as a veteran leadership type guy. But, he played with Danny Green last year. So hopefully Danny Green signed off on the deal. I'm not sure Daryl Morey's consulting Danny on these moves.
Daryl Morey's brought him in before. Daryl Morey's
right. So Dwight Howard, hey, I'm okay with it. He was good last year. He was good for the Lakers last year.
Yeah, he was. He actually was.
Yeah, he was. 215-592-9494. But obviously, talking about Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson, the fact that at the end of this year, the Eagles are going to have to choose. I want to know which one you would choose. Carson with a new coach or Doug with a new quarterback, be that Jalen Hurts or somebody else. But last segment, we were talking a little bit about the hesitancy and the holding of the ball, which that's the thing that drives me the most nuts with Carson. And it's the thing that he needs to fix more than anything, because I think it creates a lot of the other problems. And there's like a hitch right now. And we played one of these for you last week, but Brian Baldinger has been doing these breakdowns where he does them for many different games. And he did one with Carson this week in the Browns game. Now, the one everybody knows is Jalen Reagor is wide open on play. Carson did not pull the trigger, ends up looking at Miles Sanders too late, gets hit, pick six. Some people will put that on the offensive line. I put that on the quarterback holding the ball too long. But there was another play in this game where it's a third and short. Carson Wentz has seemingly a play to deliver, and if you want to check it out and watch it, go to Baldy's Twitter account. But here was Brian Baldinger just illustrating Carson Wentz again on one of these plays and his hesitancy to throw the football.
The Eagles are an abysmal 2-for-21 on third downs over the last two games. This is third and three. Can you keep the drive alive in this pouring rain? Alshon comes in motion. Denzel Ward widens. Alshon runs a good route. He runs the route for the first down. This should be a four-yard throw. He's got leverage on Denzel Ward. The ball's going to come out. It just has to come out right now. Here's the first down. There it is. That's open. You got 2.5 seconds max to make your decision. But the ball's got to come out. But if you like the tight end, then throw it. You've got it. All this grass right here, as Doug Peterson likes to say, throw it to an open patch of grass. Just throw it. But you can't do this. You can't sit there and think that this protection is going to hold up. I mean, you're in a short set to begin with. Here's what he's looking at. Like this, the play is perfect. Now, Lane Johnson, Pryor, they're all in good shape. Even Peters right here is still in good shape. All right? If you're going to throw it to the tight end, throw it to the tight end. You got him against Carl Joseph. Throw it. But you can't. You're coming back here to Fulgham, then you better throw it. You better be ready to unload it. And that should not be a sack. It just shouldn't be a sack. Like, nobody got beat quick. Like, you just got to get rid of the ball, though. I mean, it's killing him right now. 2-for-21 on third down. The protection was pretty good.
And, there are many instances of this. I just tweeted it out. I retweeted Baldy's video there if you want to check it out at TommyKelly44. But there are so many plays like this where people will rip the offensive line and people will rip Doug. And that was good protection. If you watch that video, it's good protection. There's an open receiver. As he says, the play call is perfect. Like, and that's where Doug, I don't know what you want him to do on a lot of these, because he's calling plays that theoretically should work. But the quarterback is either not reading, and what I feel is he's not trusting himself. and his confidence is shot. And maybe what he needs to, if he's ever going to get back to being a competent quarterback, maybe he needs to be benched. Maybe then he can bottom out and truly rebuild, because until he bottoms out, there's no way to go back up. He's just going to keep sliding into this descent. It's been shown by the way he's played this year. He's not going to play his way out of it. I think we've seen enough evidence at this point to know he is not going to play his way out of this. So you need to wake him up. And the way to wake him up is tell him you're going to sit down for a game and you're going to watch Jalen Hurts, and we'll see then. If Dougie really is the problem and everything else is really the problem, then fine, we'll see it. And then Carson, go back in at halftime. But we need to figure out exactly what's going on here. The only way to do that is put him on the bench. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Tom in Alabama. What's up, Tom?
Morning, Tom. Thank you for taking the call. I was enjoying your show on hold. You sound great.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
How about, you're saying about, between Wentz and Coach. You know, I'll tell you, I'm sure you listen to the morning show, and I've always been behind Wentz, number 11, North Dakota State.
That's
I'll
right.
tell you, it's got to the point where he needed to be sat. He should have been sat when he got sacked in the end zone. And what you were just saying about the screen pass. And then the thing that really burns my ass, Tommy, is afterwards with his silly-ass press conference. He's so damn arrogant as well as obnoxious, not wanting to take any of the blame. That doesn't bode for me, Tommy. He's...
Yeah, Tom... Yeah, I thought, the response that bothered me was when they told him that they asked Doug about him being benched, I thought it was a really arrogant response. Like he was shocked that would even come up. And it's like, how can you be shocked when you played this poorly?
Yeah, well, let me tell you, it's ridiculous is what it is. And then they ask him in the press conference, and he's looking at some guy like, was he really asking me this?
Right.
Here's another one, Tom. You're asking me between the two of them. He needs to be evaluated, because I don't know if he's running the team or what's exactly going on. But I know one thing. He's another one that acts like a smack ass with his press conferences and calling the station acting like a dope. He's the first one, Tom, as soon as he's get a wee bit choppy to head for the lifeboats. You know, the defensive coordinator, I think the whole thing needs to be scrapped. I think a rebuild is what I think. And Howie Roseman, he needs to be replaced, but good luck doing that. I mean, we have to go to the top on this one. He needs to do something. It's the owner's time to do something, Tom.
You know, it could be, Tom, and I appreciate the call. And, that could be what happens. We'll get to some sound before we get out of here from Chris Long. And I think Chris Long had some very interesting things to say as far as Jeffrey Lurie's role in all this. And, his affinity for Carson. And we'll get to some Chris Long sound in the 4 o'clock hour here in regards to everything going on with the Eagles, and in particular Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson. 215-592-9494. Donald, Alex, you guys be first up. And then, Mike, Jeff, I'll get all you guys on hold when we get back. I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.